In the name of the crucified and risen Christ. Amen. Catholic journalist Richard Rodriguez has this to say about Holy Week. Catholics tend to focus on Good Friday. Most Protestants want to hurry up to Easter Sunday, but Episcopalians are a Holy Saturday people. I like the sound of that. I tend to agree, especially for us Episcopalians here tonight. We can dwell in the liminal space between light and dark, the place where death transitions into life. The Gospels are silent about this in-between place after Jesus' body is buried in the late afternoon of Good Friday. We don't hear what happens until the women visit the tomb on Easter morning. It is in this silence that the ancient celebration of the Easter vigil begins. Tonight we occupy both sides of the resurrection moment. The moment when Jesus' body is filled with the breath of life and he leaves the tomb. While we are not privy to the details of that experience, we do have a story that might fit in just as well. The Valley of the Dry Bones, which we heard a short while ago. In this vision of the prophet Ezekiel, God breaks into another cemetery to bring resurrected life. The valley Ezekiel sees is a grim scene indeed. Filled with bones all around, it speaks of violence, wholesale destruction, and unspeakable loss. You see, Ezekiel lived in a time when the armies of Babylon had overtaken the land of Judah. The brightest and most skilled citizens were exiled to Babylon, and God's temple was ransacked and wrecked. The way people thought back then, Babylon's gods must be stronger than the God of Israel for this to have happened. So, with their God defeated, the Israelites have lost heart. They are suffering a death of spirit, becoming as lifeless as a valley of dry bones. Mortal, can these bones live? That is the question God asks. Ezekiel is not exactly emboldened to say yes. He takes a more cautious approach. Oh Lord, only you know. But God kicks it right back to him and even enlists his help. Prophesy to these bones, God says. And as Ezekiel speaks, the bones rattle together and form skeletons. Then come the sinews and flesh to cover them. And most importantly, God calls the breath, carried by the four winds, to breathe upon these bodies that were once slain. This breath is the Spirit of God. It's the same breath that was breathed into the first humans in the Garden of Eden. The same breath that is breathed into the crucified Christ, causing his body to stir in the tomb. The same breath that is breathed upon us in baptism, connecting us to Jesus' earthly ministry and the mystery of his resurrection. Mortal, can the bones of a crucified man live? Oh Lord, yes, just as we live in him and he in us, just as we live in the power of his love poured into our hearts. Right now we sit in the dark, in the tomb with Jesus. Soon we will be on the other side of the resurrection, this transition marked by the renewal of baptismal vows. Then it will be time for the lights to go up, and for us to ring those bells and shout alleluia in celebration of the majesty and victory of our risen Lord. Now, there's something I'd like you to think about at that point in the service tonight. It's a song by Bruno Mars called Uptown Funk. You might be familiar with it. It's a Billboard hit from less than a decade ago. And it is indeed funky. So funky it can make dry bones dance. Now my favorite line in this song is, "Girls hit your hallelujah, woo." Or to be more precise, "Girls hit your hallelujah, woo." That's right. I offer you this personal rendition because tonight we will indeed be hitting our hallelujah. Much like we would hit a high note. To hit a high note, you have to put some gusto and commitment and feeling behind it. So that's what we're going to do. We will hit our hallelujah for Jesus, who has left the tomb and lives forever at the right hand of the Father. We will hit our hallelujah on behalf of the women disciples who discovered the empty tomb, yet according to the Gospel of Mark, which we'll hear in a bit, they were too afraid to tell anyone. And we will hit our hallelujah for the gift of baptism, through which we participate in the risen life of Christ. Amen? Through baptism, we participate in his death and resurrection. We commit ourselves to a life of service in his name, and we offer love to the world by the power of his grace. Now, baptism, we know, is 100% affected by God. God is the one acting in the sacrament. And truth be told, it is always God doing the acting. It is God who rose from the dead. It is God who breathes new life into us when we find ourselves knocked down and gasping for air. It is God who enables us to live with Christ and in Christ and for Christ, if we so choose. So let's also hit our hallelujah for one another, because we are all choosing God and life in Christ once again this very night. And I guarantee you that our risen Lord will be hitting his hallelujah for us and all those raised to new life in him. Amen.